Welcome to South Central Works, the podcast where we discover how to make our workforce stronger for the future. And now here's your host, Michelle Smith.
This morning, I'd like to welcome Bree Durham, the Director of Specialized Training Programs at the Aerospace Joint Apprenticeship Committee, or what we fondly call AJAC. Hi, Bree.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Today, we're going to talk about apprenticeships, and I have lots of questions for you. First one is, what is an apprenticeship?
Typically, an apprenticeship is a system of training, basically training a generation of practitioners in a trade or profession with a component of on-the-job training and often accompanied with some type of study or classroom work or reading. Usually, we call that related supplemental instruction. So whatever that apprentice is learning in a classroom is directly related to what they're learning on the job. And an apprenticeship, basically, as people skill up in their trade, they're paired up with a mentor, and that mentor is showing them different parts of the trade that are important so that they can stand on their own 2 feet one day and become what's called a journeyman. And so typically these apprenticeships in Washington state last anywhere from 3 to 7 years, depending on the skill of whatever they're doing. And then people who successfully complete an apprenticeship reach a what's called a journeyman status, or they get a professional credential of competence that they can show in the train. And basically, when you become a journeyman or you journey out, means that you can stand on your own 2 feet in whatever profession that you're training under.
When I think of apprenticeships, I always traditionally think of the union trades. Do you work with unions and non-union settings, or what? How do you handle that?
So we serve union and non-union shop. It doesn't matter how that shop is set up. We figure out kind of a way to work together. The nice thing about our committee is we have union and non-union members on our board and committee. So we're rooted in kind of both sides of the aisle, if that makes sense, just to make sure that all those values that matter for non-union shops and union shops are there when we're considering outcomes, if that makes sense. But I would say about 75 to 80% of our employers are non-union, but then the rest of them are union. And so we have a lot of know-how on both sides to support kind of the operations and the needs of whatever the employer and the production facility needs, if that makes sense. So, yeah. And there's been no shop that's ever unionized because they've decided to sign on with us.
Oh, good.
That's
okay.
A common misconception.
Right. No,
that's never happened. That's not what we want to do. We're a nonprofit at the end of the day.
Okay. Gotcha. How's an apprenticeship different from other types of training?
So usually apprentices earn wages from their employers during their training. So they're earning while they're learning. Programs provide on-the-job learning and job-related technical instruction, which I kind of talked about. And then the on-the-job learning is conducted in a work setting under the direction of one or more of the employer's personnel. So usually you're with a competent journeyman while you're training. You're also getting rotated. So you're getting exposure to different parts of the trade so that you become a well-rounded employee. And then basically at the end of that training, not only do you get college credits attached to the classroom piece of the learning that you're doing, but you also get an industry recognized credential called a journeyman's card that you can use nationally.
Gotcha. Are apprenticeship programs limited to adults, or can young people, I don't know, 18 and up apply?
Yeah. So basically, apprenticeships in Washington state are actually open to individuals as young as 16.
Wow.
But that is something that's new. So recently in Washington state, we've started to become kind of one of the first providers that and apprenticeship committees that's been able to kind of crack the nut on how to do youth apprenticeship in Washington state. And so what does that mean is that 16 and 17 year olds can now access apprenticeship programs that can get them into industry. So students that are 16 and 17 are able to take 15 college credits, which ends up being about 3 classes at their local high school. And then they're able to take 2,000 hours of on-the-job training and get rotated around at local manufacturers that we partner with. And then they get actually a journeyman's card in the occupations that we've kind of identified as good, really strong entry-level positions for them to start. So right now we have one that's called a production technician, and then another one that we just started called an automation technician. But typically you see people going into adult apprenticeship anywhere from 18 on up. There's no age restrictions, but the average age of a apprentice in our program that we see coming in is usually about 32.
Okay, gotcha. So I know Ajax was started to support the aerospace industry. What other kind of trades or industries do you support?
Yeah, so obviously Ajax stands for the Aerospace Joint Apprenticeship Committee, but we serve basically aerospace and any advanced manufacturing processes and companies that are in Washington State. We're a nonprofit intermediary model. So we basically are state funded, which is really a cool model. Because some people, I don't think anybody's ever really seen before, which is kind of exciting. But basically what we do is we have some allotment that the state gives us, and we help skill up the small to mid-sized employers that are struggling to develop their workforce. And so we come alongside them and we really support them in how they want to train the next generation of workers coming up. And we kind of heard about this whole thing called the skills gap that's coming down the pike here. And so what a lot of employers in production and manufacturing environments right now are really stressed out about is that they don't have people to fill those high skilled jobs that their workers are in right now. So the average age of an advanced manufacturing person or a machinist in Washington State right now is about 62 to 65.
Trying to grow their workforce kind of thing.
They're trying to grow their workforce and they're trying to grow their own in a sense. And they're trying to connect to the community more, but they need to keep people on the job. Getting them out of the 4-year college system is a little problematic. And so what they're really trying to do is invest in their workforce as soon as they can and try to close that gap. And so we come alongside them and develop internal training programs and help them set up apprenticeship programs in their actual companies and then support them in all that compliance that comes along with it. So that's kind of how we start supporting that. And what kind of employers do we have? We serve about 250 employers across Washington State. And those range from high-end aerospace companies making parts for Boeing and all the different aerospace airplane manufacturers across the world. But then we also have, partners like Trident Seafoods, where we're training up all their industrial maintenance workers to plastic injection molding companies that are making parts for kayaks. And so really in Washington State, we're so diversified in what type of manufacturing and production that we do that we're serving a lot of different industries that are diverse in what they're making and manufacturing and producing.
So if a team gets into an apprenticeship, they're in a plant and that seems like a dangerous setting. How do you handle teen or safety laws and teen worker laws?
So there's a couple different layers to that. So teen worker safety laws are always important. And the first thing when we were developing the youth program is that we really had a good understanding of what all the laws were that regulated teen worker safety. And so the occupations that we have created do fall under teen worker safety laws. But a lot of people haven't been utilizing or kind of reading the rules and regulations around that because we just haven't thought about having students do an exposure like this. Because we always just assumed that 18 and up was there was kind of no wiggle room there. But because we have worked with the Teen Worker Safety Division at Labor and Industries, and we approached them first and asked, like, this is what we want to do. This is really, really important to us. Here's the things that we want students to do in manufacturing in production environments. Is there a way that we can be granted a variance for this type of occupation? And there actually is in the WACS, there are ways that you can get student learner variances for some hazardous occupations, if that makes sense. And so we were able to obtain, once we were able to show her what these students were going to be doing in that occupation, and we were able to identify the tools and the duties that they would be doing, then we were able to get a go ahead from teen worker safety to keep moving forward. And from there, we were able to get a special student learner variance because we're attached to K-12 programs. Because we're an apprenticeship, that means that the students are getting one-on-one mentorship constantly. And then they're also getting rotated. Part of apprenticeship, just the heart of what apprenticeship is all rooted in safety. And so a lot of the training that apprentices are getting all the time is infused with safety constantly. And so Elle and I felt really happy with how structured the program was for us to be able to obtain those types of variances. And so basically at AJAC, we'll go into an employer site and we'll walk them through how to obtain a minor work permit. We'll help them get that special variance endorsement. And then we'll walk through the shop and then help them answer questions on what the students can and can't do. And then basically, Elle and I is happy to also consult over the phone and answer any questions and concerns that we have to make sure that we've kind of covered all of our bases. And that's a really important part. Plus, we partner with the school districts to make sure that they're staying in compliance and they're also having a relationship with the businesses so that everybody kind of stays on the same page.
So what about liability? How are the students covered?
Every company, that's probably the first thing they ask me. And you know, that was an interesting one because, yeah, we definitely had to figure out all these different questions and be able to answer them confidently. And so because of the special variance that we were able to get and the minor work permit, the students will be covered under the same workers' comp that adult workers. And they get the same type of coverage. There's no additional liability that your company has to basically has to add. And sometimes companies will have additional liability insurance that they take on. And that's great. What you need to do in those situations is push back on your insurance company because their job is to always say no first. And so with a lot of the companies that we started this pilot program, the pilot program with years ago, they kind of had those same concerns and those issues. And so we said, well, can you go back to the insurance company, your private insurance company, and just say, why are you saying no? And really, what is that? And so once they were able to push back a little bit on that insurance company and explain the program and what they were trying to do with these youth, then they were able to get the insurance company to make an exception. So right now we have about 38 employers with about 67 youth apprentices working as we speak. So if an employer needs help with that process, or you know, need somebody to advocate or talk to another employer about how they did it, we basically make those connections and help that employer through that process.
Cool. That makes it easier. They don't have to go and try and navigate themselves.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Okay. So if I'm an employer and I want to take on a youth apprentice or an adult apprentice, is there a cost tied to this?
There is for the adult part of it. What's cool in Washington State is that apprentices get 50% reduced tuition. And so basically classes cost our apprentices, for instance, we quarterly, our adult apprentices take a class one night a week for 4 hours for three courses a year, basically. And then they're off in the summer. And so for one course, it's $250 to $260, depending on kind of how the community college structures their credits. Okay. Which is 50% less than most. So a lot of employers choose to take just to pay that cost. And sometimes there's like a policy where once the employee passes that course, then they reimburse. And then sometimes the apprentices just pay it depending on what the company wants to put in their policies, if that makes sense. For the youth program, there's no cost. We embed it into the schooling that they're already doing. Which is great. So that's why we love this youth program, is because the students get a year off of having to worry about that type of stuff. And they get a year off of basically the adult program that we've started so that they can get a head start on their adult apprenticeship goals.
So what kind of hours do apprentices work? Do they work Monday through Friday, you know, 9 to 5 or what?
So basically we get kids started, our students started in late June. They sign on with employers. It's a little bit of a kind of a road show as we are getting kids linked with employers, getting them interviews, they get hired. And then basically end of June, they get signed on with their companies as official apprentices in Washington State, which is really exciting. We have a youth signing day and we make it a really big deal, kind of like draft day. The employers show up and they get to kind of swag off their kid. And then the students get to feel really proud about the career path that they're choosing. And then they're able to work up to full time in the summertime. And then when school starts in kind of September, they're basically going down to about 15 to 20 hours per week that they work, depending on their school schedule and kind of work-life balance. In some situations, if they're seniors and they release a little bit earlier or they have a more flexible schedule, they can actually work all the way up to 28 hours per week with a special variance.
Wow. Okay, so what if I hire this apprentice and the guy just doesn't fit or the girl just doesn't fit with my company? Have I locked in them on?
No, you have not locked into having them for that full 2,000 hours. They are an at-will employee. They fall under the same rules and regulations of whatever your employer handbook is going to be kind of outlining. If it's not working, it's not working. We don't want any employer to ever be dissatisfied with the experience. So I guess the thing we would ask is that they reach out to the staff here and at the school to see if we can put in some interventions to try to help that apprentice get back on track. Because you're working with youth, sometimes they don't tell you the whole story. And so we're really good at kind of figuring out what's wrong. But if at the end of the day, it's just not working out, we absolutely will try to create that win-win, but support you in whatever decision you make.
Gotcha. So can a youth apprentice jump into an adult apprentice after their completion of their youth partition?
Yes, yes. And there's a couple different choices that students can make. We obviously would love to have them go into the adult program. And so how we've structured or articulated our youth apprenticeship programs is that they're the first year of usually our adult programs. So for instance, in Yakima, we're doing automation technician.
What's an automation technician? I have no idea. Can you explain
that? Good question. Yeah, automation technicians are basically learning about all the different systems that are involved in production and manufacturing, and they're learning how to maintain those systems, run those systems. There's so much kind of automation and intelligent systems that are now in production and manufacturing that students are learning about robotics in school right now. They're learning about how to fix different things with their hands and problem solve and take things apart and put them back together. But they don't really know what kind of jobs are out there. And in these manufacturing facilities now, there's so many cool things that are happening. And so basically what we're trying to set students up to do is get exposure to maintaining those systems and also inspecting those systems, working in that environment with adults that are, you know, supporting those operations. And so that's kind of what an automation technician is that they're going to be, we want them to be rotated through kind of all the industrial maintenance behind how those systems work, run, and operate. And then hopefully if they love that kind of exposure and they're competent in maintaining and helping run those systems, then they'll go a step further and they'll choose adult apprenticeship with us and do industrial maintenance. And so if they choose industrial maintenance adult apprenticeship with us, then they get a year off of that experience. So instead of 8,000 hours and a 4-year adult apprenticeship, then they only have to do a 3-year apprenticeship with 6,000 hours. That makes sense. Instead of 4 years, it'd be 3.
Okay. And then they've already done 2 as a youth.
Yeah. It's kind of like running start for the trades in a sense. So if you think about it, they're getting that first year of adult apprenticeship done with while they're still a student.
If an employer has additional questions, where do they go?
They can go to ajactraining.org, and there is a portal for you to contact me. My name is Brianna Durham. Again, I'm director of specialized programs or youth apprenticeship. And then we also have an adult team that supports all of our adult apprenticeship initiatives too. And so there are links there to contact those people if you have questions.
And can you give me your website one more time just in case so people wrote it down?
AJAC, which is AJAC training, TRAINING.org.
Yep. Thanks, Bree. Thanks for your time.
Not a problem.
Thank you for listening to South Central Works. If you've enjoyed the episode, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you consume your audio. Don't forget to download our app, available for free on Google Play and the Mac App Store. To learn more, visit southcentralwdc.com. Thanks again, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.